Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of You Enjoy Life. I hope you're enjoying life today, and like I said on my video that I put out today on Brothers Green, regardless of what you're feeling, it's okay. Remember, it's easy to judge yourself when you're not in this perfect state, or when you see people that are happy and joyful, and you're like, why am I not like that, and I should be like that, and you beat yourself up, but gotta honor the emotions, and we must honor. I think there's a lot of positivity and like sort of optimistic forward Instagram accounts and podcasts and stuff, and I think that's great and all, but sometimes it can leave us with this pressure of like having to be, you know, just look at the bright side and just think positive and just be happy and smile and all this stuff, and there's definitely a place for that, but sometimes you just gotta honor how you're feeling, and if you're not feeling great, that's okay too, and if you are feeling great, that's freaking great. But I did want to talk to you about something today, and it's one of the things that I really hate, and hate is a strong word, and I don't like to use the word very often because it is a really intense word. It's just like there's like a darkness to it, but I just need to admit to something that I really hate, and it might sound silly or superficial or kind of irrelevant, but it's something to me that causes me so much anxiety and stress, and I wish it wasn't this case, and I had to accept it, and I do accept it, but it is something that I absolutely freaking hate and having to deal with, and I had to deal with it this morning, and I was having so much anxiety, and I was totally not myself, and I'm like, why have I created this life for myself in this one specific area, and that is thumbnail. That's so stupid to say. Thumbnails on YouTube videos. And titling YouTube videos. There was a time in my YouTube days where you just could kind of write the recipe and, you know, just put a picture of whatever. And I trusted that subscribers would see it and they would click on it and they would like it or not like it. And that would be that. And now it's become such of like a game in YouTube to title things, clickbait things, title things a certain way, have certain sort of wild thumbnails that are going to force people through the mind tricks of clickbait to click on something to make, instead of just what the recipe is, it's kind of like, you wouldn't believe what just happened and all this stuff. And I've played into it for sure, but I really don't like it. I don't like the fact that I can spend hours and hours and hours and pour my heart and soul into a video, and then if I don't think of the right thumbnail and shoot a picture that's going to be enticing or have some sort of conspicuous or ambiguous, you know, title or whatever it is, that people aren't going to click on it. And that just kind of, it's an unfortunate thing. It's part of YouTube. It's part of the space. It's part of how things work. I totally get it. I'm not knocking on it. I just hate it. I just have to say that. Like, I just need to get it out there. I freaking hate it. And I wish there was a better way. I wish it would just go away. And I wish I didn't create a scenario for myself where I'm sitting in that situation. And I know I need to let it go. I know I need to just be cool with it and accept it and just honor it and appreciate it. But right now I can't. And this morning, so I put out this video. I'll just give you a little bit of background. So I did this video on cooking with woks, and wok cooking is some of my favorite cooking. I'm obsessed with cooking with woks. I probably cook literally 90% of my meals with it. And that was the title of the video, why I cook 90% of my food with this. Basically, you know, just talking about the wok and this like ultimate guide to wok cooking, because I think it's such an amazing tool. It's so incredible. It makes things really simple. You can do almost anything. You can steam, you can saute, you can deep fry, you know, noodle dishes, curries, soups, all kinds of stuff. And I absolutely stir frying things, fried rice. And I love it. But what I don't love is having to, you know, figure out a thumbnail to get people to click on it. And this has like become the bane of my freaking existence over here. And yes, I shouldn't be complaining about it. It's a third world problem. It's a stupid thing to have a problem, but I want to just say it so I can get it out there. Cause I hold it in my head and I have so much stress, and I'm just like, it's so frustrating to me that that's a thing, you know, that I'm frustrated by that and that I have to think about that. And I'm not someone, especially as like the thumbnail game, it gets more and more intense. You know, some of my early I have to yawn. I can't cut that out. I'm a little bit tired today. I've been going at it hardcore this week. It's been actually a great week. But some of my early viral videos, like if you look back, the thumbnails are not good. They're not, they wouldn't hold up, I feel like, in today's thumbnail standards. But they just worked. And same thing, even like the titling, the old titling of videos, I guess there was, what's ironic to me is like, I wasn't thinking back then, like when I did How to Live on $3 a Day, I was not thinking, okay, this needs to be a catchy thumbnail, this needs to be a catchy title that's gonna be viral. I wasn't thinking about that at all. I literally made a video that was about living on $3 a day, and it was all about you spending $3 a day on food. And I wasn't thinking, is it gonna be interesting? Is it gonna make people wanna click on it? I just put it out there. I barely even thought about it. And the thumbnail is like this four-way split of just food, because that was kind of what we were doing back then. And the video went viral, and I didn't overthink it, and it just happened. And now, like, I kind of hit myself over the head for feeling like I'm in this world where I have to overthink and sit there and stress, like, well, if I title it this, this might happen. If I title it that, this might happen. Should I title it this? And coming up with, like, 5 to 10 titles for one video, when in the past it was just like, this is the title, 4 meals, 4 ingredients, $4. And, yeah, I think there is a viral ring to that, and I think there was something enticing about it, but that was also just what the video was. You know, and people liked it, and they enjoyed it, and it got us a lot of subscribers and a lot of new fans. So I just had to get that off my chest. But the video is great. If you do want to check it out, of course, go into Brothers Green Eats on YouTube. It was a fun video to make. I made so much good food, and I'm obsessed with that. But this week has, aside from the thumbnail, the thumbnail massacre, this week has been really great. So I'm on this goal thing. I talked about it a bit in the podcast. I'm doing this 30-day goal sprint to put together You and the Everybody Band. And it's just been opening up so much in my life, realizing the importance of getting clear. When you really know what you want and you go after it, you start to see like all the other things that you've been just distracting yourself by, and where you're, you know, people pleasing, and where you're just saying yes to things that you don't need to be saying yes to. And that's something that I think is really powerful, and that I would love for people to kind of look into in their lives, to look into and think, you know what? What am I saying yes to? What am I just kind of blindly agreeing to in the world because I think that, you know, I'm gonna make somebody else happy? And how can we shift that language around? Because here's the other part. I was talking to someone recently, and this is like a simple click that just kind of clicked in my mind. I was like, wow, I cannot believe that I've actually been doing that. So we were talking just about what it means to be a people pleaser. And the person I was talking to, they were like, you know, I made a choice, and somebody really needed my help. And, you know, it was one of those things where, like, I was going to do it out of people pleasing. And I knew, like, they could have done it themselves, but they were just asking for my support. And I wanted to do it, but I also knew I didn't have the time and the capacity to do it. So it was the first time I really, in a while, just said no to this person. And they said, you know, I felt bad for saying no, but, like, I had to follow my heart. And I thought about that, and it hit me. I was like, wait a minute. Think about how that really lands. Like, think about the fact that you're feeling bad for choosing you. You know, like, that's how kind of backwards and twisted we become, in a way where we feel guilty for saying no. It's like either we say yes to someone out of people pleasing. I'm not saying in all scenarios, but as a people pleaser, and I am a serial people pleaser, we say yes to stuff to make someone else happy, even if it means we're not going to be happy because we think, you know, we're going to be loved typically. We think it's going to get us more love or more appreciation by saying yes, when deep down we're creating resentment. But not only that, when we finally stand up for ourselves and we say, you know what, I'm going to choose me. You know what, I'm going to say yes to me and no to someone else. Then we feel bad that we did that. So now we're left with this feeling of like guilt, you know, or shame or something. So it's like, how can we turn that around? How can we say, you know what, I'm going to say no to this person, and I'm going to feel good about it. I'm going to feel empowered. I'm going to feel inspired by the fact that I said no. I'm going to feel excited and grateful. And yeah, like, you know, I can have empathy for someone, you know, because that's something that they wanted or they were asking of us. But it's okay to say no, you know, in any scenario, it's okay to say no. I say yes to plenty of things that I feel good about, but it's okay to say no, and I shouldn't feel guilty for choosing something that I know is what I need. Because it's only going to get worse in the long run by saying yes to stuff that don't serve you. So being in this goal situation right now where I'm choosing a goal, I'm getting clear on my vision for the world, getting clear on what I want. Anything that comes into my space that doesn't feel right, anything at all that comes in, I can say, you know what, that's not right for me. That's not what I need. So I'm going to say no to that. And I can feel good about that, knowing that it doesn't serve my highest purpose. And maybe you can say you're being tested or whatever you want to look at. But that has been a huge shift for me. That has honestly changed so much in my life. And I'm extremely grateful to have the opportunity to, you know, go after something that I believe in and take a chance and take a risk and try something new. And the more I talk about it, the more excited I get about it. You know, this week I had a band practice actually last night with a bass player and a drummer, and it was just so much great chemistry. We had so much fun. You know, we sang and we danced and we played some of my songs and we wrote new songs and we just let songs happen in the moment. And I got to see more and more clearly what You and the Everybody Band is and why this just lights up my soul so much. And yes, there are other things that I love to do. Like every morning, I'm waking up and spending at least 2 hours doing yard work, you know, and I enjoy it. I didn't know that was something that I would enjoy. But like my wife and I have been building a fence in our front yard, and I just figured it out. I spent hours on YouTube and watching videos and all kinds of stuff. And we figured out how to recycle our old chain link fence that was totally beat up. And we spray painted the poles and we got someone on Craigslist to take away all the old material we didn't need. And then we put up this nice, like really simple, but nice wooden fence. And we just did it and we figured it out. But what I really love doing is the gardening and the yard work. So for the most mornings, I wake up and I'm shoveling and I'm raking and I'm mulching and I'm planting and I'm pruning and doing all this stuff, and I'm learning and my mind is just expanding exponentially. And I'm so forever grateful for the fact that the mind can do that. It's an amazing thing. If you're in a situation where you feel like you would love to learn something, it could be an instrument, it could be cooking, it could be a new hobby, a passion, a sport, whatever it is, and you feel like you're just too far behind or it's too late, I promise you it's not. We get smarter as we get older. Yes, you know, they say by the time you're 7 years old, you know, you can take in so much more information so you can learn languages and stuff faster, but I believe as you get older, you get smarter. You know, your brain increases, you develop more skills, you develop more capacity to understand things, to utilize information in a smarter way. Like if I could go back to school now, I think it would be so much easier, because the way my brain thinks now is just so much more like it understands me. You know, it doesn't get frustrated as a kid, I used to get so frustrated when I couldn't learn something and think I was stupid. Oh, I'm just not good at that. I'm stupid. But then I started teaching myself stuff and realized, you know what? I can learn anything. So I imagine going, if I were to like snap back into high school right now, but with my current mind and body and everything, that it would be so much more simple for me, because I'd be gracious on myself. I'd be gentle. I'd be understanding. I would take my time. I would be patient. I'd believe in myself above all. So in terms of learning all this gardening stuff, it's blowing my freaking mind, because I'm reading these books, I'm watching YouTube videos, and what in the past was so much effort. You know, last year, I knew when I moved in, almost 2 years ago now. Wow, it's almost been 2 years in Colorado. That's amazing. When I first moved into Colorado, I knew that I wanted to plant a lot of trees. I knew I wanted to grow a lot of food, but I had no idea what that would actually be like. So when I started doing it, it was exciting, but man, the work, having to get up and like water stuff and rake and mow and all this stuff was like, it was kind of a pain in the butt, to be honest. And same with all the houseplants. We have a lot of houseplants, and taking care of them was just this like, you know, it was just so frustrating, because I thought you could just buy plants and water them from time to time and you'd be fine. But no, certain plants need certain things, and some plants are much easier to grow and other plants aren't. Same with, I seeded a ton of stuff last year, and I really thought that would be simple. Just throw some seeds in some dirt and then put them outside eventually. And it's like, no, there's a million things to consider, and a lot of my seedlings died, and it was so frustrating. But this year, I've just naturally progressed and naturally changed, and things have become so much more easy. And I have a long way to go always, but now the houseplant thing, every morning I walk around, I look at the plant, I, you know, kind of speak with them a little bit, you know, mentally, and sometimes I also talk to them, like, what's going on, dude? How you doing? What do you need? A little water? Cool. Oh, you just need to chill a little bit? You need some misting? Whatever you want, you need a little food. It's just like I kind of know and I get it, and I can look at the plants and have a much better understanding. Same with being outside. I just love it. I love these simple things. I love sheet mulching. And if you don't know what sheet mulching is, it's basically a process where, let's say you have some ground that's like covered in weeds and dirt and just not very pretty. And you could just, you know, you could clean it all up. You could mow it down. You could rake it. You could dig all the weeds out and pull them out and everything. And then, you know, amend it with soil. And that's kind of like what a lot of people do. But sheet mulching is this really cool process where basically what you do is you put down like cardboard. You cover an area with cardboard. You might want to say there's heavy weeds, I would mow the weeds down. But if not, just cover it with cardboard and then cover it with, you know, 3 to 6 inches of mulch, which like wood mulch, for example. And you can get wood mulch for free. You know, a lot of tree companies that are breaking down trees, they'll mulch the tree and then they have to dump it and they don't know what to do. So you can call them up and they'll give you free mulch. I've gotten truckloads of mulch for freaking free. So then you cover it in 3 to 6 inches of mulch, and within a year, that mulch is breaking down, it's feeding the soil, and the cardboard's helping to keep the weeds out, so the weeds die off, and then it just develops this really healthy soil and dirt. And it's like you end up with this great dirt that you can plant stuff in that's healthy and aerated and amazing and filled with life. And I've been reading this book, Gaia's Garden, and it's blowing my freaking mind. I'm learning so much about gardening, about growing, and I just got to say, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have a small, it's only a quarter acre, but a small piece of land to grow on and learn on and practice and try things. And as much as I love growing vegetables, and I'm going to be growing vegetables this year, which are technically, for the most part, vegetables are called annuals, which means that you have to plant them every year. What I truly love are perennials, and perennials come back year after year after year. So all my fruit trees, berries, amongst other different edibles, there's certain herbs that come back year after year. Things like rhubarb come back year after year, grapes, of course. And I'm also trying other stuff like persimmons, and there's this one fig tree that I'm growing, and I got a pomegranate tree coming that if I plant it in the right place and take care of it, it might actually survive. So there's a lot of really fun things going on, a lot of things I'm really excited about and I'm grateful for. And the garden is just one example where it's a thing for me to, sometimes I obsess about it a little too much. I mean, I end up putting probably about 4 hours of work into the garden between physically doing it for a couple hours and researching every day and reading. It's probably 3 to 4 hours a day of work. But what I love about it is in the morning, instead of just jumping on my computer and working, it kind of becomes like my workout, you know, and also my sort of mental workout where I'm just out in the field and I'm doing things that are really simple. And it's just something that I really love. I'm really grateful for. I'm really happy to have this opportunity. But it feeds the other things in my life. So once I've gardened and I've kind of gotten that workout and I got a sweat in and I've, you know, shoveled things and moved things around and I've kind of connected to nature a bit more, then I can go work on the computer. But if I just have this sort of electronic world, it just messes with my head. My goal is to create this big food forest where you walk in the backyard and you're basically just like covered in this beautiful forest of food, and there's trees and shade and growth and just magic everywhere. And it takes a long time. It's a commitment. It's years and years of work, you know. But when I planted my first apple tree, I knew, I was like, this is a long-term investment. I'm not going to get much out of this. I maybe got 10 apples total out of my two trees, maybe 10 to 20. And, you know, that's not that much, but they were amazing, delicious, like mind-blowing apples. But I knew it was a long-term commitment, and one day I'll have these giant apple trees and I'll be getting a lot more. And those are the kind of things to me that are extremely exciting, to be in that space where I know that I can be continually growing and learning and reaping the benefits is great. And that's no different for you out there with your dream. No matter what it is, you need to invest in yourself today. I've talked about on the podcast a bit, like the best thing you can invest in is yourself. It's really true. You know, yeah, you can invest in stocks, and you know, I invest in stocks and Bitcoin and economy and all this stuff. But the number one thing I put money towards is myself, because that's what's going to grow exponentially. And you can make money in the stock market, and if you're smart and you take chances and all these things, but at the end of the day, if you invest in yourself, that is what is going to grow your life. That is what's going to change your life. That's what's going to give you the biggest return time and time and time again. So if there's anything that you can take away from this podcast today, it's, I guess I was just kind of all over the place talking about different things going on in my life. But the more I get clear on what I want to do, the more I invest in myself, the more I trust myself, the more I'm gracious with myself, the more that I realize that I can do literally anything, grow anything, more things get better and better and better and better. So I hope this has been lovely for you today, and I hope you have a beautiful rest of your everything. Bye.